Bill Neely, I'd like to ask you, you know, why don't you tell us where you were born, first of all?
Well, I was born in McKinney, Texas, in Collin County, in the year of 1916, September the 19th. Born on a blackland farm down there. It's about 30 miles northeast of Dallas, Texas. And we were sharecroppers down there up till I was about 16 or 17 years old. And we went and got rid of our mules and everything. We all moved to town. And that was back in about 1933, I think, we moved from the farm to town. And of course, then my dad rented a house up there in town. It's four-room house, an acre ground, $6 a month, where we had a big garden in the back. And of course, you didn't get no money. Maybe we still went out in the country and chopped cotton for $1 a day, 10 hours a day, which wasn't very much, but it wasn't much money back there then. Of course, I was riding freight trains.
Was your father born in Texas, too?
No, my dad was from a little town called Dukedom, Kentucky.
And when did he come to Texas, do you know?
I think he come to Texas when he was about 18 years old.
Did he play music, too?
No, he played a juice harp. That's all he could play.
Yeah. And your mother, was she Texan?
She was born and raised in Nashville, Tennessee. She could play just about anything. Sang, she had the prettiest voice in the world, I thought. She played guitar, organ, piano, accordion, things like that.
Did you learn any songs from her?
Oh, I learned. We used to sing some old songs. She sung a few of them, yes.
Do you remember any of them that she sang that you liked especially?
Yeah, she used to sing that song, Letter Edged in Black, yet I still sang. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, several old songs he used to sing, and I forgot most of it, you know.
And how did your father come to be in Texas and to be a sharecropper? Was he?
They was raised on a tobacco plantation back there. They raised tobacco, mm-hmm. And they all decided they want to go to Texas, and so they all moved to Texas. And I don't know where I met my mother at. I think it was around in Gainesville, Texas, up northwest of Dallas, mm-hmm. About 65 miles.
Mm-hmm. And when you were little, what sort of music did you hear beside your mother? Would she sing for your kid?
Oh, yeah. She sang, sat out on the front porch and picked a guitar and sang. And she could really sing. And my uncle, my mother's brother, he was a guitar player and singer. His name was Charlie Burleson.
Well, what was your mother's name?
Burleson.
Burleson?
Uh-huh.
And her first name?
Her name was Carrie Helen Burleson.
And your dad was?
He was Charlie King Neely.
Mm-hmm. And your mother's brother, you remember them singing together
Oh, yeah, we all used to sing together out there, you know, and we come in from the cotton patch.
Mm-hmm. Who did you work for? Did the land belong to
the big land? Yeah, land belonged to a fella back there by the name of Tobe Enloe. Enloe, E-N-L-O-E. Mm-hmm. And we worked on the halves. He furnished all the seed and everything, you know, and money. And we made the crop on what money he loaned us, and then we'd have to pay it back at the end of the year when we gathered the crop, you know. We got half of everything that was made.
Was it sort of like, did they have a store there too that the man ran, or was it did you have to go to town by your grocery?
No, we'd go to town by our grocers. We had, we'd go in a wagon by our grocers. Of course, you'd get a wagon bed full of groceries in for $5.
But you didn't have no refrigerators in those days.
Oh, no, didn't even have we didn't have an ice box.
How'd you keep your meat and stuff like that fresh?
Well, most of it was put down in salt, big boxes, and it was salted down. Of course, we hung, the hams was cured, you know, hung up in a smokehouse in sides of bacon. And the sausage, we, as in the wintertime, you know, when Hepburn made the sausage, it was hung up in there in the sack. So all the sausage was eaten before it got hot weather. But you still had this sugar cured meat hanging up in there, and you'd just go out and cut you a slice off of it and cook it.
That wouldn't get bad in the Texas hot summer, or did you have to go in and get your little piece of
that? No, it didn't bother because it was sugared. It was dried, you know.
Oh, that was
cured. It wasn't spoiled.
Oh. Did you have your own like hogs or chickens?
Yeah, we had our own hogs and chickens and milk cow.
Uh-huh. So you got some fresh milk that way. Did you have a little vegetable garden too?
Or? Oh yeah, we had a garden.
What did they grow around there mostly?
Well. You mean the principal farming?
Yeah,
yeah,
the main crop that you
yeah, with cotton and corn, wheat and oats, high gear, and cane and onions.
Oh, cane too.
Oh yeah.
That
oh yeah. It wasn't sugar cane. It was just a cane, you know, feed the stock.
Oh, to feed the stock.
Yeah, we cut it and shock it, you know, and put it in big piles for the winter.
Did you have any colored people work there too, or was it?
Well, they had colored people that used to come out there and work on the farm for the guy that owned the land.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they'd help us,
but
you know.
But they didn't live out there, did they?
No, they, most of them lived in town.
Huh. Did you ever hear them singing songs?
Oh, yeah, lots of them.
What sort of stuff would they do, you remember?
They sang old blues, old country blues, and I don't know, they call them lowdown blues.
Did you remember any particular ones that struck you?
Well, I learned one song as a religious song from I can't think of her name right off. Is take your burden to the Lord and leave them there. And I still sing it.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to sing that all. That's where I learned it from an old colored woman. Mm-hmm. Sister Rosetta Tharpe was her name.
Oh, you got that off the record.
No, I heard her over the radio. Yeah, that's her theme song. She sang it every morning and every evening. Yeah, and I learned a song that's called the Graveyard Blues that I still sing. That was old colored folks' song that sang that. What, need a pen?
Oh, here it is. Yeah, I just want to note those down. I can catch those. Huh? And, did you ever hear him do any story songs about the boss man or something like that?
No, never did.
Yeah.
They's always treated pretty fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So kind of didn't have any stories like Mance, he knew that one about Tom Mueller.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He
told me all that down there and took me all over that farm down there and showed me all the mules and everything.
Did you ever hear Blind Lemon coming through, Lemon Jefferson?
Yeah, I've heard him. I've just heard him on record.
Who was the first musician besides your mother that you ever remember hearing?
Well, it was my uncle and her brother. I've heard him and my daddy's brother. He picked a guitar just like I pick it, with a thumb and his fingers. He was really good, him and his wife both. He played and she second, and it was good.
But as far as professional musicians, did you ever hear any some show that came through there or anything like that?
Well, Jimmy Rogers. He come through there, and I don't remember whether it was 29 or 30, but anyhow, I slipped off from the farm and walked to town, because I had to see him, because
mm-hmm.
we had all of his records, me and my sister.
Mm-hmm.
He recorded 113, we had them all. So I slipped off to town, and I went down on what they call a jockey lot, jockey grounds. You know, that's where we put our wagons, tied our wagons and mules and horses and parked the T-models down there. Because that's what we had, a 24 T-model.
Oh, you did have a car?
Yeah. And he had his big tent down there, the tent show down there. And he drove this old black touring Cadillac. Wore a big white hat. And, well, I found him up there, and I followed him around all day in town.
Mm-hmm. Did he have anybody else on the show with him, or was he?
Oh, yeah, he had two or three comedians on there. And he had two or three girls on the show there with him.
Did they sell anything like medicine or stuff, or was it?
No, they didn't. They didn't sell nothing. Only his records.
Oh,
yeah.
And his pictures. Did he have a songbook?
Pictures. Never got no songbook, but I got. He gave me a picture, and his old thumb pick that he used. I still got his thumb pick and his picture that he gave me.
Did you ever hear Bob Wills or any of those fellows?
Oh, that was later on, yeah.
You did tell me when you were born, didn't you? Give me your birthday at the beginning.
Yeah, I told you at the first day. Yeah.
So he was about the only one until you. What was the first dances you went to? Who played some of those?
Well, the first dances we went to, we had them ourselves at home. We had square dance every Saturday night.
They have them at your house or at somebody else?
My house, our house, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who would play the music?
Well, we had a fellow down there, Kennedy Brothers. They was Al Kennedy and Fred Kennedy. He played the guitar, Fred played the guitar, and Al played the fiddle, and they could play.
Was just the two of them then?
Yeah, well, sometimes we'd have three, a mandolin picker maybe. But my dad and them would all square dance. Of course, we had these coal oil lamps sitting around the corners. Mm-hmm. And I'd go around blowing them out, kept them all busy lighting the lamps again. Mean, we're just mean is all. Only thing you can make of it.
Huh. And when did you leave that farm? Remember what year that was?
1933.
Was it just getting too tough? Or?
Well, it wasn't everything. Wasn't you couldn't sell nothing. You had to give it away. So what's no use staying out there? So we had to move to town and just work where we could find work, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that town was called?
McKinney, Texas. Collin County.
And how'd you manage to go to school and get to work too?
Well, I done quit school. I quit in eighth grade.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what sort of work did you do then?
Well, we would still go out in the country and work on the farms, you know. Of course, it wasn't paying but a dollar a day. You work 10 hours for a dollar. And sometimes they'd pay a dollar and a quarter. That's pretty good money.
Mm. That was, I guess, the depth of the depression, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know how long it lasted. It seemed to me like it lasted 100 years. So I got tired of it all, and I caught a freight train, and I rode them for 3 years.
Where did you all go?
I went all over the United States. Well, yeah. I started riding them in 1930. But I'd come back home occasionally, see them folks. And in the meantime, I moved to town. And I just kept riding 3 years. I rode freight trains.
Do you remember any of the places you went to? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know a lot of places I went to. Yeah.
What were some of the places you liked the best?
Well, I liked Colorado pretty well. It's in the wintertime, it's pretty cold up there, and I come across the plains of Amarillo, Texas, riding a flat car in January, and it was snowing, sleeting, raining, and freezing, and everything else, and I was about froze to death, and it was plenty of cold. That's when they had these, what they call a transient camp, where hobos could stop there and get them a good meal. If they didn't have any warm clothes, they'd give you some clothes or something other. You could stay there and work if you wanted to. Of course, I stayed there we went to Tucson, Arizona. I stayed there at that place for about a month and worked in the fields out there. Mm-hmm. Then I went and part of the time I worked in the kitchen because I was a pretty good cook. And, you know, you get tired of staying in one place, you'd catch another one and just keep on going.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever run run across any other musicians who you pick one of their singers?
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a lot of guys on there. Some of them had fiddles and carried their French harps and banjos, mandolins, lots of them. But you know, when I was riding freight trains, I rode these what they call a 16-wheel drive. They never mention them 16-wheel drivers no more. Yeah, and I rode them. where they had what they call these road hogs. They'd have three and four of them pulling these freight trains, so many boxcars on them. And it was so many hobos, women, children, and men all on them. It was the Jackrabbit Trail there in Arizona. If so many on the freight train, they had to stop a train and let them all get off and walk up the mountain, and when they got up the top, they got back on. So many of them, many. See, I went to start to California one time, and it was over at Nyland, California, where you cross into from Arizona into California, immigration officers, and they wouldn't let you through. Oh, I tried it three times, about 80-something miles, and they sent us back. And the last time, they made us walk back to Yuma, Arizona, which is about 80 miles. Took us 4 or 5 days, without anything to eat. Then how I got through into California, into Los Angeles, is a family on a flat car, man, his wife, and had a whole bunch of kids, I don't know, 8 or 10. They had a goat with them, dog or two. And this guy told me, said, well, if you want to go into California, you can just get under this here wagon sheet with my kids, and I'll just tell them you belong to me. And that's how I got into California, as one of his kids.
Some work when you got to Los Angeles?
Yeah, I washed dishes, cooked a little, first one thing to another. Then, you know, when they started the CC camp, I got in the CC camp out there, went up in Sanger, California, up on Kings River, running jackhammer. That's $1 a day.
Still $1?
$30 a month. And you have to send part of that home to your mom and daddy. Yeah. Yeah.
When did times finally start getting better for you?
Well, I don't know. I guess it got pretty good. 1939, I went and I joined the Army. Joined the Army in 1939 and stayed in there till 1941 and got out, and they drafted me back in. I went to the Philippines over there in infantry. Stayed in there a long time. I got out in 1943, I think it was. And come home. And then I was in the reserves. And in 1950, they sent me to Korea. I spent a year over there. So I was in both of them. I was about 39 when time was picking up a little. Mm-hmm. Which it wasn't too good.
So you got in the Korean War too. Did you have to go over to Korea? Wait, were you over in Korea?
Yeah, I stayed over a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're lucky to make it through both of those.
Never got a scratch, neither one of them. But I had a buddy of mine that got killed right beside of me there in Korea. He was a Polack. Had a big long handlebar mustache.
Was he from Texas too?
No, he was from New York. And he had a kind of a cross thing as Saint Sebastian around his neck. And I had an old diamond I had around my neck on a chain. And he wanted to trade with me. And I gave him that old dime, and he gave me that Saint Sebastian, and I wore it all through the war over there, and I never got a scratch, and he got killed. And I still got it here. Yeah? Still got it. I just figured that kept me from getting killed. I don't know.
Did you belong to any church in
particular? Well, I joined a Baptist long time ago, but I'll tell you about that. It Me and my brother, one's here now. Me and him joined the same night. I think we was about 14 years old. Well, we got out on the front porch of the church house, and he called me some kind of name. We had a fight right there on the church house porch. Then we went on up the road there and got in the man's peach orchard and stole us a bunch of peaches. And that's my church.
The other church wouldn't feed you.
No. Oh, Lordy.
Did you go to some school in the Army?
I went to Cooks and Bakers. Uh-huh. I've got 2 diplomas from Cooks and Bakers School. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did you pick up on that business when you got out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I cooked in the Army, and after I got out, I cooked about all over the country. My cousin had a cafe out there just before. Well, I was cooking before I went in the Army. She had a cafe out there, and that's when I was cooking for her in 39. That's when I joined the Army. I was cooking for her and washing dishes and everything else, and that's when I went in the Army in 39. But I got out of there. I've cooked all over the country and baked.
When you came back from Korea, did you?
1951, I came back from Korea. Mm-hmm. Hey, I was married.
When did you get married?
Yeah, we got married in 1948.
Where'd you meet your wife then?
In Arizona. I was working in the copper mines out there. Mm-hmm. Lowell, Arizona. Mm-hmm. Her and her mother and her sisters and daddy was running a cafe there in the mining town. And, of course, I was already working there. I was working 3,100 feet underground at a mile back in the shaft. And that's where I met her. And we got married there. And I got out of the copper mine because one night we were supposed to work, and we didn't go in this shaft. It boomed out in there, and this whole thing caved in. So I looked at that, and I told him, I said, take me to the top. I'm leaving. I went and got my money, and we went to Safford, Arizona, and started picking cotton. Mm-hmm. And we were getting $3 a hundred.
And both you and your wife?
Yeah, we
was. What was her name?
Her name is Bobby Hamilton. Or she don't like me telling anybody her real name, I mean. But I'll tell you, it's Minnie Bell. Minnie Bell Hamilton, that's who she was before we got married. And she loved coming out of the club any time. Well, she don't like it. Yeah, that's her name.
When did you have your first child?
Lord, let me see. I ain't got no memory. There.
Was it after you came back from Korea, or?
No, when I was in Korea, they was 2 years old. That was 19, and I left. I went over 1950. We were married in 48.
And yeah. Which one is your oldest child?
They were twin girls.
Oh.
Wanda Kay and Wilma Gay.
Ah,
Kay. Yeah. Wanda Kay and Wilma Gay. One of them was here the other night. The other one lives in Uvalde, Texas.
Mm-hmm. And then the others?
This one here, his name's Charles.
Uh-huh.
Charles Neely. That's the only boy I got.
The only boy.
And the girl in here is named Pamela Joyce. She got married Friday night.
Yeah.
There
you go.
And I got a girl in California by a previous marriage. She is 27 years old. She's my oldest one.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Well, she's got 3 boys I never have even seen.
Well,
I'm going to, my brother and them going to try to go out there and see them when they get home. They live out there close to them.
When you came back from Korea, did you keep on cooking? I done
some carpenter work for my wife's uncle. Albert Jones, he's a builder, still a big builder here in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Done some work for him. And then I worked out at what they call a transformer repair division out here on the north part of Austin.
You came to Austin after you came back from Korea?
Oh, yeah, well, they was already here.
Oh, they were already here.
Mm-hmm. See, we came back here in 1949, I believe it was, last part of 48. And they was living here. And Bobby, my wife, she was a waitress in a cafe up here at Ellis's Cafe all the time I was in the service in Korea. Yeah.
How you saved your money then up and bought this house,
or
did your
folks,
did your wife's
parents? No, I bought this on the GI Bill.
Oh, okay. Well, let me just do some more things. Did you play around here much? Did you kind of play little clubs, or how did you happen to...
Around here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I played at several places around here. Well, I don't know if I could name them all or not, but I played out at the lake and a place called Split Rail, a one-night club, Frontier Lounge on Barton Springs Road, or just a bunch of them. Played at houses and parties and private parties and all such of things as that, and even played on a houseboat out here in the lake. Yeah.
And this is how people heard about you, I guess.
Isn't it? Yeah, I guess so. I've been singing and picking about ever since 19 and I think it's 29 or 31 when I first started out. Mm-hmm. That was my first time to pick up a guitar when Jimmy Rogers comes to my hometown. And
when did you make up most of those songs? Is there any special part of your life?
Well, no, I started to. Making, writing songs. Well, the first song I wrote is about 25 or 6 years ago is a rock and roll.
Before
Elvis Presley ever started singing.
What song was
Rock and Roll Baby. I wrote it. I don't know. I might have been the first one to write a rock and roll song. I don't know. But that's the first one that I wrote. And I started writing. I was working in Dallas. I was working for the city, sweeping those boulevards with one of those big brooms, those big sweepers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Left hand, the right hand steering wheel, everything.
When was this?
That was, let me see. We went over there and we moved from here to over there in about the last part of 57. I think, and I went to work for the city, and we built a new home there, and I went to work for the city. I think I worked there 5 years, and I wrote my, started on writing my other songs. I wrote Don't Waste Your Tears Over Me. I was sitting on the broom, and I had a 30-minute lunch period, and I sat under a tree out there and wrote it, and I don't know, I just started writing them. Thinking just coming to me and just putting them down.
Well, then you came back here in the late 60s or what?
Yeah, we moved back here in about 62 or 3, wasn't it? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I got acquainted with Threadgill up here, and we got to, of course, he can't play anything. I played behind him all the time. And that's where I first started out here, playing up there on Wednesday night. Every Wednesday night, big. We've had high as 300 people up there on Wednesday night. And we had one little mic about this high. Everybody gang around had a nail keg out there in the middle of it, said ashtrays on, and we all pass the mic around and sing.
Oh, you would sing some too?
Oh, yeah, I was singing up there.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I was singing Jimmy Rogers stuff too. All that, but I got to writing songs, and when I write one, I don't know, it just comes to me, and I just put it down on a piece of paper and then make my tune.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I can't read music. I can't write it.
But you got it in your head.
But I can remember it. Sometimes I forget them when I'm singing them.
And have you played any of these festivals around?
Well, I played one festival out here at Oak Hill. A time they had kind of a party for Threadgill out there. I guess we had about 5,000 or 6,000 people out there. That's Janis Joplin played out there with us that night.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, she flew over here from Hawaii. That's the last time I saw her. I met her in 1962 at Threadgill's up there. Yeah.
And, let's see, anything else you want to tell me that you feel is kind of a part of your music that influenced you a lot?
Well, I started to tell a while ago about my first guitar playing. I didn't even know one end from another on a guitar. I don't know how much my mother and them play them. But Jimmy Rogers set me down in his tent in his old chair and learned me my first chord on his guitar. The one that he recorded with, and it's in Lubbock, Texas now in a museum. Mm. But he said I was the only guy ever played that guitar but him. Mm. Yep. He taught me my first chord. From there I went on. I never, still can't play it.
You never had yourself a band like some of these guys, like Milton Brown or Bob Wills or anything like that? You never decided to make music your life?
No. The only little band I had, I started this band, what we call, what Fred Gill's got now, what he called the Hootenannies. Mm-hmm. It's two of us, me and Shorty Ziegler. Mm-hmm. We started out here at the Split Rail. Mm-hmm. It was just me and him. Mm-hmm. And they was paying me and him, we were playing on a Saturday night, and they was giving us $15 a piece. So we invited Threadgill out there, and he never did leave no more. He come on back every time. And I, you know, I just were listening to the same old songs over and over and over. And I've done it 2 years. An old pal, St. John, was playing with me, and he got tired of it and quit. Went to California. Terry Owens was playing out there. I guess you know Terry. And he quit. Then I quit. And I told him, I turned it over, I said, you can have it. I'm through with it. And so he still got it. Of course, he's using rock behind Jimmy Rogers now. I don't know what kind they're playing.
I guess I'll have to see what that sounds like. But I can't think of it sounding too big.
But all in all, he's a pretty good old guy. He never done me no wrong, and I guess.
Which of the more modern musicians do you like around that you've heard? Some of the youngsters have come through here that you met up with.
Well, it's Tracy Nelson is my favorite. Uh-huh. Her and Bonnie Brait.
Bonnie Brait, yeah.
You know her.
Yeah.
She's good. She is good. Mm-hmm. And Mance Lipscomb, Tracy Nelson, Bonnie Brait, and. Well, Frank Ziegler, a friend of ours, he's good.
I don't know him.
He picks a good guitar.
Uh-huh. He wanted to come and meet you.
Come on over.
He's a friend of ours.
Uh-huh. Good. Does he make up his own songs too, like you do?
Yeah.
Yeah, he makes his songs too. Uh-huh.
Tracy, any of these other rock and roll people that you like?
The only one I like is Elvis Presley. He can sing anything.
That's true.
Ain't nobody can sing any better than Elvis Presley. Because ain't nothing he can't sing. I don't care what it is.
Mm-hmm. That's true. When he started, nobody would think of that, you know.
He started over in Big D Jamboree in Dallas. Mm-hmm. But that old boy is something else. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody can beat him. I don't care where they come from. I've listened to a lot of these big singers like George Jones and Buck Owens and all them people. I just don't care nothing about that. Mm-hmm. You hear it on the radio every morning, it's the same thing, same old songs over and over and over. It's like a broken record. I just don't tell them that as you. It make no difference to me. Because you know it. You know how he's got disc jockeys up here. They play the same record every morning. And this Peggy Little, you heard her, haven't you? Well, she kind of sang. She's about like Bill Anderson. As far as I'm concerned, ain't no singers. I know I'm not a singer, but they ain't either.